Didn't he?
Amen.
Boy, I appreciate that from a young man. Thank you, Morgan, as well for playing. I think of a verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 that speaks to certainly what he was singing about. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God working in our hearts. God working in our lives. And what a great, great message in that song. Thank you. That was great. All right. Lord's good, isn't he?
Yeah, right.
And it's good to be in church, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a blessing. You're not taking it for granted, are you?
No,
not this crowd. Maybe some out there on live stream land. Maybe they might be. No, I'm just joking. But we never want to take things for granted.
Right.
God has done so many good things for us. And, you know, I'm going to speak a little toward that in Malachi. If you'll turn to Malachi. A lot of people, when they first read this, thought it was an Italian prophet, Malachi, but they got that wrong. It's not Malachi. Malachi, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses. We're not going to be in this passage, but I want to use this as a springboard for my message. Malachi chapter 1. There are four chapters in Malachi. We're just going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to read 10 verses. Last book of the Old Testament. All right, so it says here, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? That's what the Lord is saying here to the Israelites, to the Jews. And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, what he's saying there is if you offer a blind animal, if you offer a blind lamb, he's saying, if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts, and now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So the Lord is speaking through the prophet Malachi here, and he is speaking to the ungratefulness, to the ingratitude of the Israelites. The Jews had gotten to a point where they were not thankful for what God had done for them. They had gotten into a kind of a routine, you know, kind of going through the mechanics. You ever go through a routine or you ever kind of just take things for granted and you get into a routine? Does that ever happen to you?
Right. Yeah.
Happens to all of us. But unfortunately, this is a small sample of what took place many times with the Jews. Now, I'm not going to point the Jews out and, oh, they're terrible, they're terrible. We do the same things, all right?
Yeah.
We can take the Lord for granted. And the Lord became angry with his people many times for their, for these offerings that they gave, because they were not coming from their heart. He talks about that in verse 8, if ye offer the blind for sacrifice. They were doing things that were not coming from their heart. They were giving to the Lord really like secondhand gifts. Did you ever get a secondhand gift? Or a re-gift? Yeah, yeah, you know, it has all, you know, you open it up and it has all the markings of a re-gift, right? Especially when they accidentally leave the tag inside the box that it was intended for somebody else. You know, like to Joe, and you're like, my name's not Joe. Wow, this is kind of tacky, right? It's very quiet. That means many of you have done this. You need to get your hearts right. Listen, what a, you know, that's a sad state of affairs when we get re-gifted or when we send somebody a re-gift. Listen, they were the things that they no longer wanted. They were the things that you would take over to, you know, a Goodwill, over to the thrift store, because it no longer has any value to you and I. So instead of the Jews, now I'm speaking of the Jews, instead of them discarding those things like a blind lamb, they decided that they would be those would be the things that they would offer up as sacrifices unto God. A blind sacrifice. He says, would you give this to the governor? No, you wouldn't give that to the governor. So why would you give it unto God? Now, believers, all through the ages, from the beginning of time, those who trusted in the Lord, really, including myself, have been guilty of this very same thing today. Okay? We can fall into that trap. We can fall into that same thing. We can bring the Lord all of our white elephant gifts or whatever it might be, something that we don't really hold a whole lot of value in. But may we always keep in mind, and it's good for us to do this, those of us that know Christ. Now, there may be some of you who don't know Jesus as your Savior, and we want you to be saved. We want you to get saved and trust Him who died for you on a cross, was buried, and rose again. We want you to put your faith and trust in Him. But I speak for the moment to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that it's always a good thing to remember what He did for us. The Lord Jesus Christ became a sacrifice for us. He gave Himself. He gave His all. Isn't that an amazing thing that He would do that? Amen. 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So with that, let's go ahead right now. Let's take time to pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless as we look into His Word. And I'm speaking on a subject that I just called a blind sacrifice. Now, Father, we come to You this morning, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather together. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Thank You for the blessings that You gave to my wife and I this past week on that getaway, and spending time with the Fussels as they were able to go as well. And we just had a great time there in Seattle with the preaching and the fellowship, everything that Open Door Baptist provided. We pray You'll bless their church, and just what a great host that they were for all those who came. Thank You for the opportunities to see some folks we hadn't seen, and I thank You for the safety that You gave to us on our trip, both there and all the way back. And I thank You for those that were here praying. And we just thank You, Lord, for the things that You do in our lives. Your word again says daily You loadeth us with benefits. May we be mindful of that. We can get into a routine. We can begin to take things for granted. I know I do that. I don't want to do that. I want to be always mindful of what You do for me. And I thank You for all of the blessings that You pour out to me, to my wife, to my family. Thank You, Lord, for this church. We thank You, Lord, for the brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't ever want to take any of them for granted. So we thank You, Lord, for all that we have. And Lord, we're reading about how the Jews fell into that trap where they just began to fall away from You. And they began to do things, but it wasn't from their heart. They were going through the mechanics of things. And I pray, Father, that You'd help us. Help us as we live our lives not to get into that trap. Help us to stay in Your Word. Help us to stay close to You in prayer. Lord, help us to be humble before You. And we pray, Lord, that in this message that we want more than anything for the Lord Jesus to be glorified and lifted up. And I pray, Father, you'd get me out of the way. And I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in each and every heart. So we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to think about how we have the opportunity to make and give sacrifices unto the Lord. Now, we don't make the same sacrifices that the Jews made, all right? The law provided, you know, when the law was instituted through Moses, there were sacrifices that were to be offered for their sins. And those animals, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, they could never take away sin, but they were a picture of something. We know who they were a picture of, amen? They were shadows and types of one who would come, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, right? So they were pictures of that. So they could never do that, but God, that's what he accepted. He accepted those sacrifices that were made. Now, we don't give those same kinds of sacrifices, right? That great sacrifice was already made, and if you're saved, you have Jesus Christ living inside you. You have the Spirit of God. What a great thing that is. But we are commanded to give sacrifices as well, all right, along a different line. In Psalm 4 and verse 5, it says this, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Again, obviously, we don't give those kinds of sacrifices that we just read about. That secondhand variety. Boy, I hope that we don't go there. Instead, we want to give him something that comes from our heart. We want to give him something that is pleasing unto him, things that really matter, and things that truly took a personal sacrifice in order for us to give it. That's where it should come from. It should come in that manner. So often, what pleases him the most is when we've been greatly tried, when we're going through some difficult afflictions, and from the bottom of our hearts, we can still praise him. And we continue to be a blessing to others. That's what's pleasing unto him. Now, I'll just go ahead and have us read this passage of Scripture, because we're going to get into Romans chapter 12. And so you'll want to get that lined up. We won't be coming to Malachi. Again, I use this as a, just a leaping off, passage of Scripture. And here in Hebrews, though, I want you to read something in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and it says this in verses 8 through 16. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And he's speaking about those animal sacrifices right here. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, all right? We're to bear a reproach that Christ bore for us. That's by living a godly life that's pleasing unto him. For it says here now in verse 14, 15, and 16, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come by him. So these are the two verses I want to get to, and just listen to these verses. Let them sink into your hearts right now. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That just comes off the heels of where we're to bear the reproach for Christ. We're to go through trials. We're to go through difficulties. There are sufferings that are, ordained and promised to every one of us who live for Christ. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And so it says that we're to give praise unto him, our lips giving thanks to his name. And then verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when we make sacrifices unto him. So now I want us to go to Romans chapter 12, and this is where I'm going to be with my outline, and we'll take a look at just a few verses in, but in Romans chapter 12, we're going to take a look at a sacrifice, a very, very clear sacrifice that's laid out, a formula for this sacrifice that's well-pleasing unto the Lord. And if you're like me, you'll want to do it God's way, amen? So what is it? Let me ask that question. What is it that God requires for us? As we look here in chapter 12 of Romans, this is a very well-known passage of Scripture. And it says right here, I'll read the first part of verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So the first thing that I want to bring forth, because we're talking about sacrifices, is the Lord tells us that he wants us to be a sacrifice. He wants us to give ourselves unto him. That's really this first point. He wants us to turn our lives over unto him. Now, if you're saved, you belong to the Lord already, right? You know, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and you belong to the Lord. But now a decision has to be made on our part. Yes, we were saved if we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior. When I bowed my head and I asked the Lord to forgive me and to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior, he forgave me, and he gave me everlasting life. And he did that for you whenever that was. For me, it was a long time ago, 40-some years ago, that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve to be able to go to heaven one day. I'm just a sinner that deserves to go to hell. But now I'm a sinner that's saved by his grace. And so he sees me as a child of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great to be known as a child of God today? It's a great, great thing. But he wants now us to make a decision to take our lives and turn them over unto him. But that's what he's wanting. He's wanting us to give him a living sacrifice. We are that sacrifice. And he wants us to make it daily. He wants us to make this sacrifice on a daily basis. That is the highest form of giving. So I ask this question because it does beg this question. Are we giving of ourselves? Are we giving of ourselves to the Lord, or are you and I being hoggish about our lives? Are we keeping it all to ourselves, or are we turning it over unto him? It's good to ask ourselves that question. Take a look here, because we're going to get right back to Romans chapter 12, but take a look at 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I was in this passage as we were heading into our missions conference, and we're talking about faith promise. And the churches of Macedonia did when there was a need. And they dug down deep. Even though they didn't have a whole lot, they dug down deep. And there was a reason why they did it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to take note, or to take knowledge. That's what that's saying right there. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Well, that's kind of an oxymoron when you think about it, because it talks about the affliction, the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. But what did it abound to? It abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Didn't mean they were rich. It just meant that they were liberal, not liberal like we think about it today, but liberal in giving. And they gave richly of everything that they had. And it says in verse 3, for to their power, that means to their ability, to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were saying to the Apostle Paul, we know that there's been a great famine. There are many that are in need. The poor saints at Jerusalem, many of them are struggling. Paul, can we be a help? We want to be a help. We want to take a collection. We want to take up what they called a bounty. And we want to have you take that to them so that we could have a part in being a blessing to them. Would you let us do that? They were that excited about what they wanted to do and to be a help to somebody else. And then it says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but here's the key as to why they were so willing. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Did you catch that? The reason why they did that was because, first of all, they did what? They gave themselves unto the Lord. They had become a sacrifice unto the Lord. They recognized what the Lord had done in their life and how he saved them and how he gave them eternal life. And it resonated with them so that they said to themselves, we want you to have our life. We can't pay you back, Lord, for what you've done for us. It's not to be for that reason, because we could never repay the Lord, right? Certainly not. But out of a heart of gratitude, don't we want to give things back to somebody else who's loved us so much? Yes, certainly. We want to give unto him because of what he's done. So that it says that they first gave themselves unto the Lord. Let me say this. Anything that is given out of obligation or for show or out of habit, doing things mechanically, as I mentioned before, out of our excess. And I'll say this, there's nothing wrong with giving out of your excess, but let me put this little addendum to it when it's not done with the right motive. Because the Lord spotted that many times. You remember how the Pharisees would give and they would give, but they gave to be showcased. They gave and they made sure people saw them give, and they gave out of their abundance. They weren't giving sacrificially. They just wanted the praise of men. So when we do give out of our excess, it needs to be done with the right motive. And it needs to be so that it's done, that it's pleasing unto the Lord. You think about how that widow, remember they were in the temple, and it wasn't long before the Lord's going to the cross, that I think it's in Luke chapter 21, he's in that last few days before he goes to the cross, and they're in the temple, and he brings the disciples over, and he says, come here. Take a look over here. Now, all of this little small talk is not in the Bible, but you can tell what he does, because he says, I want you to take notice of that little, see that little widow over there? That's a widow woman. Look at, she's just an older widow woman, and she's dressed up a certain way. And they said, oh, yeah, they see. And they could see right when she was ready to put her money into that offering. And they saw that there was not much there. In fact, remember how much she gave? Two mites. That's a little bit of currency, right? Very little. They saw that, and they said, you wanted us to see that? But he follows up by saying, you know, everyone else gave of their abundance, but she gave those two mites, that's all she had. She gave all of her living, and that's what pleases me. She gave sacrificially. Think about how we go about in our life as believers. Do we give sacrificially unto the Lord? And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about our lives. And yes, money as well, but there are many, many different categories that we could lay out that would fall under all of this, and that is, do we give? Are we sacrificing? Are we making that pleasing unto the Lord? But when we do give of ourselves, great things begin to happen in numerous ways. But one particular thing that I think of is how it affects others. It's pleasing unto the Lord, but it's a blessing unto others. In Philippians chapter 4, and you can turn there, in Philippians chapter 4, as Paul was writing this epistle from prison, he's writing to this church that was started on his second missionary journey. And he says to them in verses 15 through 17 of Philippians, the very last chapter of the book of Philippians, he says in verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now that word communicated goes beyond what we normally think of when we say communicate. When we think of communicating, we're thinking of, you know, a phone call, texting somebody, social media and all of that, or talking to somebody. But communicating means meant that that old English word had a whole lot more of a broader meaning. Communicating means not only, yeah, a verbal communication back and forth, but also more giving and expressing. And it took on a whole lot more meaning. And that's what he's saying here. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You were the only ones that reached out and gave to me. And Paul, just a few verses earlier, said, it's not that I needed anything, because I've learned how to trust the Lord, and he takes care of me. But he said, this was good, though. It's good for your account. It's good that you did that, because God will bless you. Because he says there in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. It's just pleasing to see that you're making some sacrifices. You're being a blessing unto others. Folks, when we make sacrifices, whether it's with our time, with our talents, with our abilities, with our money, with our treasures, whatever it might be, when you make a sacrifice, then God will make sure that it's a blessing unto others. And we've seen that over and over through this church. And I'm so grateful for that. It truly affected Paul. Paul was affected by what the Philippian church had done. And the Lord will always bless the church that makes a real sacrifice. And I'll say this again, with the faith promise that we did from our last missions conference back in April, we exceeded what we did last year. And you know, I watched it from week to week, and those promises and pledges, they continue to come in. Now, I understand sometimes somebody loses their job, sometimes there's a financial reversal, and sometimes some of that giving, you know, kind of dries up, but it hasn't happened. Right. We've been exceeding the amount that we've pledged the last several years. And what a blessing that is. You know, again, it's not just a blessing, it's a blessing to us who do this. It really is. But look at how many others benefit because of the fact that we're able to give, and we do it by faith. We just trust the Lord. Again, remember, it's something that's done anonymously. I don't know who's giving, and I don't really care to, but I'm just grateful that the fact that we've been able to take on a whole bunch more missionaries. Again, Brother Jason asked, how many? We've 32 now, which, praise the Lord, it was just a few years ago, it was at 15. And so the last several years, we've been able to add on many, many more missionaries, and I'd love to be able to add on more.
Yeah.
Amen? So that the gospel gets everywhere that we possibly, you know, can help. Man, we need more and more people to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I thank you. I'm so grateful for those of you who've made those commitments. I think about the conversation. All of this makes me think about a conversation that a chicken had with a pig once. Some of you are looking at me, you actually heard this? I actually did. No. Okay, you'll get this. So a pig and a chicken heard about a church's program to feed the hungry. So they talked about how they could help. And the chicken said, I've got it. We'll provide bacon and eggs for the church to feed the hungry. And the pig thought about that for a moment, and he said, there's only one thing wrong with your bacon and eggs idea. For you, it only requires a contribution, but for me, it means total commitment. Listen, the Lord wants us to make a full commitment. He wants us to give ourselves unto him. And so he wants us to give ourselves to him fully and completely. But in regard to this sacrifice, let's make sure there's something in addition to it. So we start off by, have you given yourself to the Lord? Now, I mean not by being saved. If you've gotten saved, that's wonderful. And you know Christ. And you're on your way to heaven. And you have eternal life. But have you turned your life over unto him and said, Lord, I want you to have my life. And as much as I can, each and every day, I want to commit it to you. And I want you to use me. I want you to take this vessel and use it for your purposes. And so I bring that point out very, very clearly. Now, there's something in addition to this. And we're back in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, I'll read the whole verse again, and we'll add on the last part of this verse for the second point. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's where we stopped. And now to pick up from there, it says this, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, the sacrifice was be a right kind of a sacrifice. Again, you know, the Jews were giving sacrifices. They gave sacrifices, and they could look at you and say, we give sacrifices all the time. Oh, but God was not pleased with those sacrifices. It needs to be a right kind of a sacrifice. We must make sure that it's acceptable and that it's holy unto God. Amen? Now listen, we're never going to live perfect. None of us are. None of us are going to bat 1,000. But it ought to be in our heart's desire that when we fail the Lord, when we sin against the Lord, when we trespass against the Lord, when we fall into iniquity and trespasses, that we want to make sure our hearts get right with God. Boy, make sure that you do that. Don't let that ledger build up. Make sure that your heart is right with the Lord as you go through the day. You know, don't let it stack up, because that's just not good for us. Our hearts begin to get hardened, and we begin to get calloused about the things of God. We begin to get away from that book. But if we keep our hearts right, then the Spirit of God who lives inside of us draws us to the Bible. He draws us to His Word. And He draws us to prayer. Doesn't He do that for you? He certainly does that for me. And that's what we want. So we're not going to live perfectly, but we need to just determine that you want to live godly and righteously. Listen, there's some people that I believe are saved. There's certain camps, I'll call them, that take the grace of God and they turn it into maliciousness. There's some that teach, well, yeah, we're saved by the grace of God, but, you know, we can still live and not have to be so squeaky clean. We don't have to be so, fastidious and tenacious about our walk with God. But I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, and he says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. God forbid that foolish thinking. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Listen, we're to live a godly, Christ-like life. Yeah, we're not going to bat 1,000, as I said, but we need to look unto the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be different. Help me to be something that when somebody sees me, they don't see somebody who's, listen, to some degree or another, we're all hypocrites because we don't always back up everything that we say, but it ought to be in our heart's desire that we want to serve the Lord. It just ought to be. I know it's my desire, and again, I know I fall very far short. But folks, it can only happen as we determine to live day by day for the Lord. This presenting your bodies as living sacrifices that we read there at the very first part of verse 1 must be on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, and moment-by-moment basis. It really does. We need to just keep going through the day and talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, my mind just seems like it's straying. It just seems like I'm getting sidetracked with all of these things that are pulling me away from my thoughts of you. Would you help me? Take my thoughts and draw them back to you. Folks, as we make those cries unto the Lord, God hears us and He gives us grace to be able to do the things that He's called us to do. I know without a doubt many of you know that by personal experience. It's good to do that. It says in Titus in chapter 2 and verse 12, for even the grace of God teaches us this, okay? It says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're to live godly and righteously in this present world. How else are people going to see Christ in us? You know, we're not trying to be a holier than thou. That's just a lot of pride. And we don't want to have pride. We don't want to even go there. It ought to be we're humbled in our hearts that God would even want to do anything in our lives. You know, that song, it was just greatly sung about what God, he does things in our lives. And God is so good to do that. It's that work of sanctification that as we yield to Him, He can really bring us along at a better pace than if we're digging in our heels all the time. Amen? Any of you ever dig in your heels at any time? Nobody here, right? No, I don't think so. But understand that In order to please the Lord, you and I need to just be determined to just do what is right before the Lord. And understanding that the Lord is patient and long-suffering. He has been so patient and long-suffering with this Yehu up here, okay? He just has. And I'm grateful that he has. As we stumble and bumble along, God's good to be patient, just like with your little children, because we are his children. And you work with your little children. He puts up with so much, and he's gracious. I want us to take up Peter's admonition. Peter gives us some great admonitions. And so let's just take a look at 1 Peter. I'll just go through a few verses here. In 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll read verses 13 through 16, and then we'll read a couple verses more in chapter 2, and then a couple verses more in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter goes right along these same lines. Peter says in verse 13, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." All right, in other words, you know, protect yourselves. Put on some protection. Gird up your mind, the loins of your mind. "Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," and we don't want to be disobedient children, "but as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves," don't model yourselves after those that are ungodly, "but fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Don't go back to those old ways of living, he says. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Listen, holiness is one of those things that you don't hear preached as much. But we're to live holy and godly lives. We're to keep our thoughts and our minds on the things of the Lord. Amen? And then chapter 2, he says this in verses 11 and 12. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers," because this is what we are. This world, you know, "this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through," right? This world's not our home. And so we're called pilgrims, and we're called foreigners. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation," that means your manner of life, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." You know what that's saying? Some of those people, some of those Gentiles that are lost people, that are without Christ, they'll look at your good life, they'll look at your good works, and then one day, because they get saved, they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. And they got saved because of your testimony. Obviously, it's the Lord who does the saving. We don't save. But he wants us to live differently. He wants us to be unique. He wants us to be different, that's pleasing unto him. And then real quick, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and he says this in verses 1 through 4. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise." Remember, he said a few chapters earlier, "Gird the loins of your mind." He's saying similar things here. "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange," they meaning the lost world, those that don't know Christ, "they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." They can't figure you and I out. When God saved us, when Christ saved us, and then we're living a different life. You ever gone back to some of your friends when you tried to tell them about Christ and they're looking at you like, "Why are you so Mr. Goody Two Shoes now?" You know, and they don't understand it all. And they see that you're living differently. It doesn't happen overnight, but over time they just realize, "You're not the same Joe I used to know. What happened?" Well, praise the Lord. Through that testimony, God brings many into the kingdom of God. Amen. So may we be different. Peter certainly lays all of that very, very clearly. Peter was basically saying, let the world see you make an acceptable sacrifice to God, a holy, acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord. And then the second part of that verse in chapter 2, when he says, or the first part of the next verse, excuse me. And by the way, he says, just giving our lives to the Lord, just turning our lives over unto him. The last part of verse 1 says, which is your reasonable service. It ought to just be automatic, right? It ought to just be automatic that we give our life to Christ, that we let him use us, because we're so thankful for what he's done in our lives. But so often our wills are sometimes just cast in stone, man. We are just determined we want to do what we want, and we don't turn our lives over unto the Lord. But then he goes on and he says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. We're to be different, folks. Again, holy, acceptable unto God. We're to be different. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can be saved and love the things of this world and not really be on the same page with God at all. You know, we can be enemies of God even though we're saved, because we're against what he's called us to do. We're just determined and bent on just living in this world and loving this world and the things that this world has to offer. And God says, the love of the Father won't be in you, even though you may know Christ. I believe that that's what that passage is saying very clearly. And then he goes on, because listen, we're to be a new creature. As he continues to go on, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, we are new creatures in Christ. Amen? And old things are passed away. All things are become new. They're becoming new all the time. And so we're to be dead to the things of this life, and we're to live for Christ. We have this amazing life inside of us. We have eternal life. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And we ought to access that by simply turning things over unto him and giving him our life. What a great, great opportunity that we have. Again, we're to be that new creature in Christ, alive unto God, but dead unto the things of this life. And then finally, God requires a sacrifice in order that the will of God be done. In order that the will of God be done. Look at the last part of verse 2. He says, by the renewing, I'll read the whole verse again for context's sake. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on to say, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's part of his will. It's part of his will. Brother Gary brought that forth. He was in this very same passage that we're going to look at here in Matthew about it's part of the will of God. It's part of the will of God that we live for him, that we turn our lives over unto him. It all comes down to this, whether or not we allow the will of God to be played out in our lives or not. But listen, if you remember, it's all a part of those manual instructions that we received when we got saved, because it was clearly laid out. In fact, let's go there in Matthew chapter 6, where Gary was in Sunday school, in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 6 through 10, because he's going to give the disciples the Lord's Prayer. And some have aptly called it the disciples' prayer, what the disciples were to be praying. So in Matthew chapter 6, I'll just read verses 6 through 10. And in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You remember Brother Gary's speaking about this very passage. And he says, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And he says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And here's the Lord's Prayer that he gives to them that I think we should all know pretty well. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm not going to get into all of these, but I'm going to get to where I want to get to in verse 10. He says, thy kingdom come. Yeah, we're praying that the Lord would come, certainly. And I believe his coming is soon. But then he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's not an optional thing. God, within that very prayer, says that we're to pray for his will to be done. As it's done in heaven, so that it be done in earth. As it's done in the earth, that it would be done in our lives. Right? That the will of God would be fulfilled and accomplished in our lives. Believe me, folks, as we present our bodies as living sacrifices there, as Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, and as we determine to be separated, right, living a godly life, a separated life, then we will then put ourselves in a very good position to allow God's will to be done in our lives. And that is where this all takes us. We're now to that place where we just say, Lord, it's your will that you have my life, that I would surrender my life unto you. And it's a life, folks, which honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ greater than any other life can possibly do. Amen? Yeah, it's the greatest life that we can live that brings the most honor to Christ is when we turn our lives over unto him. Because it's pleasing unto him and he's able to use us. When we do that, what we're called to do, then the rest of Romans chapter 12 can become realized. And we're not going to go into the rest of that, but very quickly, he starts talking about the gifts that he's given to the body of Christ. When you begin to start going from verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and he starts getting into the different gifts. When someone gives their life to Christ and lets them use them and they become a living sacrifice, then those gifts that he's given to the body become to be fully realized. As people are placed in various offices or positions, God is able to take all of those gifts and he's able to complement them all. I'm so grateful for the gifts that he's given to the body here. I'm so grateful for the gifts of helps. Some of you have the gift of prophecy, you know, which is the gift to preach. Some of you have the gift to teach. Some of you have been gifted again to be a blessing unto others with some musical gifts. I'm so grateful for that, what God has done. And as he, in his wisdom, will do, as we yield to the Lord, he begins to bring more and more individuals into the church with those gifts that complement one another and that fulfill the body of Christ within each church. I believe that's what his goal is for every church. So may we just be yielded to the Lord, and Lord, would you do in your church here? This is his church. It's not our church. Now we say, yeah, this is our church because we belong as members of it, but it's his church. Yep. And so he goes on to those gifts, and then he goes on to beyond that the saints will minister to one another. As you continue to go on in verses 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Then he talks about be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. Don't be slothful in business, as verse 11 says, but fervent in spirit. We begin to be and minister one to another and to those even outside of the church. And then as you get to the last part of that chapter, he talks about how the grace of God, through just yielding unto him and becoming sacrifices unto him, that he'll begin to do some great things. He will begin to bring hardened sinners to Christ. I just love that those last few verses say, it says in verse 17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What a blessing it is when we just simply turn things over unto the Lord. It's our calling. We're called to become living sacrifices. I speak again to those of you that know Christ. Have you given yourself to him? He gave himself for you. He gave himself for me. But do we, offer ourselves as living sacrifices on that altar and then being a living sacrifice, do sometimes we crawl off that altar and then go back to our own way of living? Many times we do. And that's why it needs to be a daily thing. Remember Paul talked about, he used those two words, those three words, I die daily. We have to die daily. Lord, I want to become this sacrifice again, and use me in whatever means you want to use me. And then may we do it in an acceptable manner, that it is a holy, that it is acceptable, pleasing unto the Lord. And then recognizing the fact that that's the will of God for us, is to turn our lives over unto him. And so if God's spoken to your heart today, brothers and sisters in Christ, then boy, respond to the Lord. Talk back to him and respond to what he may be doing in your life. If you're here without Christ and you've never gotten saved, then we want to see you get saved and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation, and we'll look unto the Lord to do a work in each and every heart. But if you're here without Christ, then we encourage you to trust Christ as your personal Savior. We'll have somebody up here that can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Father, we come to you today. We're thankful again for your word. Lord, I know that I'm not able to explain it or teach it to the level that I would like to. I pray that you were able to use it. I pray that there was some understanding there. And I pray, Father, that you were able to work in hearts. Would you help each and every one of us, those of us that know you, Lord, would you help us to understand that we are to be sacrifices, not to go through some routine, not to pretend. Lord, those are the things that grieve the Spirit of God. Those are the things that anger you, and we don't want to go there. Lord, help us to truly and sincerely turn our lives over unto you. And may they be godly lives. Would you help us to live godly and righteously in this evil world that we live in? Help us to be a light that shines in a dark place that people can see Christ in us. And then help us to realize that that's the will of God for us to turn our lives over unto. And I pray you'll work in each and every heart here, those that know Christ, that you'll work in those hearts. And then we pray for those that may be here today without Christ, that you'll bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.